The sermon text is the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the one and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later, he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two sons did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If you had to choose between raising one of these two children, which one would you choose? Would you rather raise a child who speaks to you kindly and obediently, but then disobeys you? Or would you rather raise a child who speaks to you rudely and dismissively, but when it's all said and done, they do what you ask them to do? Your first reaction to that choice might be, "No, thank you. I don't want anything to do with either one of those children. They both sound like a living nightmare, and I don't want to get anywhere near either one of them." Well, of course, but if you had to pick, which child would you want to take under your care? When it's all said and done, what's better, a child who speaks right and does wrong, or a child who speaks wrong and does right? What is more important in a child, the right words or the right actions? This is the basic choice that our Savior Jesus holds up to a group of Pharisees. He presents this choice to them by telling them a short, simple story. It's the story of a father who owns a vineyard, and he goes to two sons with the same urgent request. He says to his first son, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." And this first son tells his father off, "I will not." And he goes to the second son with this same urgent command, and this son says, "I will, sir." Oh my, did you hear that? Called his father, "Sir." What a dream of a son. He's not only respectful, but he's obedient too. The only problem is that by the end of the day, this smooth-sounding second son has not actually gone out and done any work in his father's vineyard. Meanwhile, the first son, who spoke to his father so rudely and disobediently, he has come to his senses. He has changed his mind, and he has gone out and actually done what his heavenly father asked him to do. And Jesus' choice that he is setting up to the Pharisees here is, which one of these sons actually does what his father wants him to do? What is more important in a child, the right words or the right actions? Now, these two sons in Jesus' story represented two groups who were alive and well in Israel in Jesus' day. One of those two groups, the men that Jesus tells the story to, the Pharisees and other people with the same attitude. These are the people who said all the right things to their heavenly Father. These are the people who were in the temple on every Sabbath day. They spoke all the right words to all the right prayers. They sang all the right lyrics to all the right psalms. They memorized giant sections of the Old Testament so that they could recite the words to each other in exactly the right order. But then after they were done sweet-talking their heavenly Father, they went out into their world, and they didn't work for him. They saw people who were in need and ignored them. They saw people who were cast off onto the margins of society and would not show them kindness. They used their resources, their time, their money, their energy, not to promote the kingdom of God, but to promote themselves, their own stature, their own reputation, their own power. These people are just like the second son in Jesus' story. They say the right things to their heavenly Father, but then they do no work for him. The other son in Jesus' story represents the group that Jesus calls the tax collectors and the prostitutes. These are the people who had spoken rudely to their heavenly Father. These were the people who did not darken the door of the temple. These were the people who did not say the right words to the right prayers or sing the right lyrics to the right songs. But then John the Baptist came to them and preached to them the good news of the kingdom of heaven, to repent, to turn away from their evil and turn to the Son of God for the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus and the disciples came to these people and preached the same message. And by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, they repented. Literally, they changed their minds, which is exactly the phrase that Jesus used for the first son in his story, that he changed his mind. They heard the Father's call to forgiveness, and they believed, they repented. And then they went out, and they showed their faith. They proved that they had repented by working in the service of their heavenly Father. It was these tax collectors, it was these prostitutes, many of them, who supported Jesus' ministry most generously and followed him most closely during his ministry. They heard the Father's call, they answered it with faith, and then they showed it by the way that they worked for their heavenly Father. Now, God calls everyone. He called both the Pharisees and the prostitutes and the tax collectors, and he calls everybody with urgency today. The Father says in the story. And the first thing that God wants to see when he calls people is repentance and faith in his Son for the forgiveness of sins. That's what has to come first before anybody can do any work in the service of the Heavenly Father. And you can tell that by the words Jesus speaks at the end of his story. John came to you, Pharisees, to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did, and even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. So when God calls people, and he calls all people, and calls them with urgency, first, there has to be repentance and faith in the Son of God. After that, the Lord wants those who have answered his call to show that they have answered in faith and repentance, by going out into the world and doing the work of their heavenly Father. See, that first son in Jesus' story showed that he had changed his mind, that he had repented because he went out to the vineyard and did what his father had asked. Meanwhile, the second son, for all of his nice talk to his father, by not working for him, he had shown the father's call had actually fallen on deaf ears. Now, these two sons in Jesus' story, and the two groups in Israel that they represented, these two groups are still alive and well in our world today. Still today, there are Pharisaical types who worship maybe out of habit or out of a sense of duty, and when they worship, they say all the right words to all the right prayers. They sing all the right lyrics to all the right hymns. They may have some of the Bible memorized for themselves. And judging by their words, it seems for all the world that they have answered God's call to faith. But then they go out into the world and they do no work for their heavenly Father. They ignore people who are in need. They see people who need support, who need a friend. Oh, I can't be bothered with that. And their time, their money, their energy goes to promoting themselves rather than promoting the kingdom of God. See, this is the second son in Jesus' story. They say the right thing, but there is no work. And it shows they have not answered the call. Then you have other people in our world who maybe don't have the strongest record on worship. Maybe they haven't said all the right prayers and sung all the right hymns. Not a real strong history of Bible memorization, but they hear the Father's call to repent and to trust in Jesus for forgiveness. And just like that first son in Jesus' story, they repent and then they show it. They go out into their world and they help people who are in need. They look for opportunities to tell other people about what their Savior has done, whether they are working or whether they are playing, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do, they are doing it all to the glory of God. Their entire existence is offered up to him as one giant sacrifice of thanksgiving for the gift of his son. Now, the words that we say as Christians are important. That is not the point of this. When we worship our Heavenly Father, of course, we want to use words that are accurate and respectful and truthful. This is not a choice between right words and right actions. The point is that it can't be just words. Our words as Christians need to be backed up by the works that we do. God wants more from us than just words. He wants an entire life of service and thanksgiving to him. And that means it's a good idea for each individual Christian to do a little self-examination and a little self-evaluation, to ask myself, is my Christianity more than just words? Do I back up what I say here with the way I live my life out in the world? Or is my Christianity, at least sometimes, just words? Now, we have, by the power, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we have answered God's call to repent and trust in Jesus. And we have worked in our Father's service. Okay, the point of this is not to make anybody doubt or despair. Think, oh man, maybe I'm not really a Christian because I can be a little bit of a hypocrite sometimes. That's not the point. No, we have believed and we have worked in our Father's service. And Jesus forgives the hypocrisy that we have shown in the past. I know hypocrisy is one of the unforgivable sins in our culture, but it's not unforgivable to Jesus. Okay, he forgives that too. The point is that now, going forward as God's people, we want to keep moving in the right direction with this. Have our works back up our words more and more, and to erase any tendency in our lives to let our Christianity just be words and then back away from the work. So, watch the way that your Heavenly Father calls you. First thing God wants to see when he calls us is repentance and faith. So he says, I forgive you. I love you. Come to me. But he doesn't just say those words. He backs them up with his action. The Heavenly Father backs up his words of love by sending his beloved Son into this world to earn forgiveness and eternal life for us. God the Son, Jesus Christ, he backs up his words of love by earning that forgiveness for us, by living an entire life of absolute perfection, and then going to the cross, sacrificing himself for our sins. The Father and the Son, they act on their love for us by sending the Spirit into our hearts to give us that repentance and that faith that we see. This is how we know it's true when God says, I love you. This is how we know he means business when he says, I forgive you, come to me. It's because he is always backing up his words with what he does. So you watch the way your Heavenly Father calls you. Words and actions that back them up. And then we answer that call and live our entire lives, words and works, in our Father's service. Amen.